Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
Chicago sits on the Great Lakes, the largest freshwater system in the world. In fact, it represents about one-fifth of the world's freshwater supply. But that supply is dwindling. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Whether it's from overuse of resources or drought, we are seeing more and more water reserves around the country dry up, including in nearby Joliet. There, the groundwater supply is almost exhausted, and they're turning to Lake Michigan for help. And they won't be the only ones. To many, our area is seen as the water haven, and some experts think we could see a wide range of industries wanting to set up shop in Chicago to be close to the water supply. So as water becomes more of a hot commodity, how do we make sure the lake is protected, not just profited off of? In a few minutes, we'll hear from Christian Guerrero, the CEO and co-founder of Tikal Industries, one organization creating some of those protections. But first, I sat down with Elena Harkness, executive director of Current. That's an organization that's bringing stakeholders together to work on new technologies to solve the water crisis. And Karen Weigert, Reset's sustainability contributor and the director of Loyola University's Baumhart Center for Social Enterprise and Responsibility. Karen starts with how climate change is exacerbating what some call a water crisis, particularly in the U.S. and the region.
It's definitely a global challenge. And as you said, it comes forward in a very unique way here in Chicago. But globally, we're seeing fundamental changes in weather patterns, which is leading to evaporation in different places, heat in different places. And so it's leading to questions like sea level rise globally. It's leading to bigger storms. Here, we're really seeing issues where the lake level has risen and fallen. It's less linked than the coasts when you talk oceans, but we're seeing bigger storms. We're seeing flooding. We have a combined sewer system, so when it rains, it really pours, and gravity takes water to where it's going to go, which is too often people's basements, which is a very regressive challenge that we face. So we're seeing changing weather and then changing expressions of what that weather does to where we live, work, play, and learn.
Yeah, I mean, it's affecting our day-to-day.
Absolutely.
Elena, like we mentioned, with droughts, flooding, and water resources literally drying up in other parts of the country, people will and are setting their eye on us, on the Chicago area. So that includes industries as well. What kinds of industries might want to set up shop here?
Yeah, Sasha, I think we have to prepare for the reality that our region is going to be a refuge for both people and industry in the future. When that comes and what it looks like, I think remains to be seen. But what we know is that our future here in Illinois and in our region depends on manufacturing. It depends on building the kinds of industries that are going to power the clean energy transition, things like quantum computing that are really, you know, part of the idea that this region is going to drive innovation into the future.
How is that going to affect our water supply if everybody's coming here?
Exactly. Well, all of those depend on water. And what is true today is that we aren't using our water resources to the highest and best potential. We could be reusing a lot more water. We could be using treated wastewater for industrial purposes. We don't have those conditions in place today because we haven't had the market drivers, frankly. And we've thought of our water resources as infinite rather than abundant.
Yeah.
And they're not.
And it's also industries that are key in transitioning away from fossil fuels.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Exactly. So when we think about our region's ambitions to be the place where we're building clean energy batteries and building electric vehicles, and again, even quantum computing, which is going to change every industry, right? Mm-hmm. All of that depends on water. And what we should be doing is using our abundant water as absolutely a part of that attraction story, but also pricing our water accordingly, ensuring that we have affordability measures in place so that everybody has access to it, and making sure that those industrial users are innovators and they're fueling the use of technology that's going to help us be much better and smarter about the way we use our abundant water resources.
Karen, you and I talk a lot about the green economy. Now we're essentially talking about the blue economy. Fill us in. What is that exactly?
It's really the economy anchored in water, and it's anchored in how water gets moved, how water gets used, how the water quality is maintained. And so that's a bunch of different kinds of companies. It's also nonprofits, and it's people with real jobs that are part of the water we use today and the ways we can use it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And Elena, how do we prioritize protecting the Great Lakes region as we are leveraging the economic opportunities.
Yeah, I think it's that opportunity to leverage that we see huge potential to link environmental justice and economic justice, right? So the communities, Karen talked about the disproportionate burden that climate change is bringing to communities of color. And the exact same thing is playing out in the job space. Mm. Our, by and large, blue economy jobs are underrepresenting the people and places in our region that need jobs the most. And we need to be very intentional about how we start to map those gaps. Same thing is true of venture capital. It's not flowing to founders of color. It's not flowing to women founders. Mm-hmm. So we have really big opportunities to think about the economic side of this equation and how we're intentional. When Current released our strategy for building a blue economy in Illinois, it was intentionally an inclusive blue economy strategy because it doesn't happen by itself.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
Part of this work, too, is prioritizing public health. Right? One way that you are doing this, Elena, is with an initiative called Renew, which just got a big grant from the U.S. National Sciences Foundation. This is in order to develop new technologies to remove those forever chemicals from our water. What else can you share?
Well, we're really excited about this. So the NSF has invested in 10 regional innovation engines across the country. And Chicago's very fortunate to have one of them anchored here. It's Great Lakes Wide. And if you think about the super challenge, the reason it's the National Science Foundation, they're invested in frontier research and technologies, right? Mm-hmm. So our grand vision is, I'll simplify it, it's basically building like super filters. So think about the Brita that's on your table, right? That's on your, you might be using it to clean your water. Well, we're looking to build super Britas with nanoparticles and materials that can actually filter out things at the molecular level.
That's a big job.
It's
are we ready for that?
It's a big job. We are ready for that because we have assets that people don't think of as connected to our water, excellent engineers, top-tier universities, a national laboratory, industry that also needs these technologies, right? And so Renew is about bringing together this cross-sector coalition to drive that research and development forward. Build those better filters, help us keep the bad stuff out. You mentioned PFAS, but also heavy metals, other contaminants, and recover the valuable things because we're sending too much downstream, minerals like nickel, cobalt, lithium that actually power that clean energy transition, but also nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus that sent downstream contaminate our waterways.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned all those big thinkers that you're essentially bringing together. I mean, these are people tackling huge problems and developing new technologies. I mean, how do you even do that? Where do you start?
Yeah, we've started by setting the table and building coalitions. We've had a research consortium for years that has really set the tone for joint cross-sector interdisciplinary problem solving, because these are big issues and they span a lot of different engineering disciplines, public policy. We need communities, industries, and utilities all to be informing the research and development priorities. So we've really just, that's what Current set up to do. We're a water innovation hub because we're the center of these cross-sector conversations. So it's a lot of listening.
It is a lot of listening. And now I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Now, one of the groups that worked with Current in the ideation phase is To Call Industries. And we've got the CEO and co-founder, Christian Guerrero, with us. Hey, Christian, welcome.
Hi, Sasha. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us more about To Call and what you aim to do.
Yeah, so To Call Industries, we're a startup here based in Chicago. And what we're building is essentially a sensor-agnostic water management platform to kind of bridge the gap for heavy industries like manufacturing that use a lot of water and help them bridge that gap between operational gains and sustainability.
So your tech, I understand it has been developed, but it hasn't been tested yet.
Yeah, so right now we are in the piloting phase. So we're building out our customer pipeline to be able to do the launch, like the first initial couple tests, and basically make sure that we're providing the value that we intend to, that we can actually help them figure out how implementing new water sustainable technologies can not only help their sustainability goals, but also help their operational goals. And so that's what we want to do right now as we're building out our customer and making sure we can pilot with them.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Your current clients, they're in vastly different fields, Christian, right? The food and beverage and the electrical recycling industry. So explain why you're focusing on these industries. What's the strategy there?
Essentially, they use food and beverage, electronics recycling, and all the other industries that are currently based in Chicago and are looking to come to Chicago as like water scarcity gets more prevalent around the the U.S., essentially, they use so much water. And kind of like what was mentioned earlier is that they don't really have the economic incentives to be able to use to save water. Other than their sustainability goals. So what they're looking to do is make sure they're running a profitable company and making sure that they can operate the way that they need to. And so what we're doing is going in and letting them know that not only is water a sustainability goal, it's also an operational benefit. Water touches every part of a facility, and food and beverage, you know, for example, takes like 3,000 gallons of water to produce a single loaf of bread. And that not only affects like the quality of the end product, but it also goes through in their process. Like they use it to pull it from the city, pull it from different kinds of wells, but then they also put it back into the river. And that can, the quality and how much they're putting back can drastically affect the environment, the communities that they're in, but also the like their overall sustainability and operational benefit.
Yeah, we use water for so many things that we don't even realize, right? So to call transition from developing a biodegradable consumer water filtration system to working to develop water monitoring technology for heavy industry, why that transition?
Yeah, so actually we were able to do that, like the biodegradable water filters, through the Abrams Sustainability Challenge over at Loyola. And we had a chance to get really far with those. We were selling them. We got a chance to pilot them in areas where they were designed for. These filters were designed to tackle kind of infrastructure disasters and more high levels of contaminants. So we had a chance to pilot these alongside some organizations out in Flint, Michigan, as well as Jackson, Mississippi, to be able to actually test it and see the value that it brought. And what we saw out there as well was that while these filters were really beneficial, they were a small part of the problem. A lot of the users and a lot of these users within Flint, Michigan didn't know where their water was coming from. They didn't know what was in it. And so while we were able to help them filter out everything that they were worried about, we also realized that it was a small part of the bigger problem. And the bigger problem was that industry specifically don't manage their water properly as well as they need to. And so by being able to move towards helping them manage their water, we can not only help them be more sustainable, but also prevent a lot of the disasters from occurring in the first place.
I see. So tackling the original problem, yeah. Right? Your thoughts, Karen? I saw some nodding there as Christian was speaking.
It's an incredible example of what happens when you're starting to see an ecosystem. You know, the idea that an early company could test something and then quickly get input from Elaine and from others in this water tech hub to see a bigger opportunity for what they were developing, to then really grow in the direction that's going to have scaled impact. That doesn't happen in isolation. That happens when you've got a variety of organizations who know each other and people who will connect, and entrepreneurs who are willing to take risks. And that's increasingly an opportunity that exists here in Chicago and in the Great Lakes when we sit on the shores of Lake Michigan. But increasingly, we're looking at the assets that they are here, the lake, these huge water treatment plants, but really the people and the companies who use water every day. Mm-hmm. And industries that use water aren't just in Chicago, but if we can innovate here, that can translate globally.
And Karen, let's talk about the timing. We're in the middle of Chicago Water Week, right? So tell us more about that. What's the focus of that initiative?
Absolutely. And kudos to Current and many, many partners who have been building this. It's really an opportunity to engage and learn about water in very concrete ways. So there are virtual events and there are in-person events. And it's things like, you know, you can hop on a virtual event and learn about plastic pollution in Lake Michigan. You can go to an event and actually see water sampling. You can take a walking tour of, you know, Stickney, one of these huge plants that's in the Chicago region. You can help clean up the river, and you can actually hear music with the symphony. So the course of this week is to really look at and engage both the people and the communities who are a part of this emerging ecosystem around water.
What's it meant, Christian, for Tikal to work with Current?
Oh, it was absolutely massive. Elena was instrumental, and the Current team at large was really helpful in like kind of giving us a baseline. When we were trying to make the shift from filtration to water management, it was a lot different. We had a lot of things and a lot of questions to ask and a lot of things to learn. And Elena was really helpful to kind of guide us on the right path and make sure that we were not only providing value towards the blue economy at large, but also to the individual facilities where we plan to deploy. And since then, we have also had a chance to work with some of the other team members to have Current be partners on grant submissions. And we're hoping to be able to work with the Current network to continue this developing this blue economy and pilot with some other of the industries that are currently here and that plan to come here.
Drive the point home for us here, Elena, as we wrap. What is it that makes the Midwest a great place for this kind of innovation, the work that you're doing?
Yeah, well, I think we talk about the water that we have, right, which is this resource that even though it's right in our back or front yard. It's often hiding in plain sight. We don't think about it. We take the water we drink and the wastewater we flush for granted. The assets we're trying to get in the mix are the people, the talent, the diverse industries that are already here, the wonderful universities, national labs, city colleges, community partners. We have this robust cross-sector network of problem solvers who care about these issues. And if we all tune in and understand that we have to prepare for a future that looks different than the one we have today, and that creates opportunity, I think we're going to be set up for success. But we need to get aligned and we need to start acting differently about the way we manage and the way we innovate together.
We'll leave it there for now. That's Elena Harkness, who's Executive Director of Current, Christian Guerrero, who's CEO and co-founder of Tikal Industries, and Reset's sustainability contributor, Karen Weigert. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Sasha Ann.
This episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To hear more of our conversations, head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you this afternoon.
WBEZ is launching a new weekly arts newsletter. It's called The Green Room. And each Thursday, you get our picks for what's happening in Chicago, on stage, in galleries, and behind the scenes. Subscribe at wbez.org/greenroom.